The Air Force has been extremely busy over the past decade, and with no sign of a let-up in its operational tempo, senior officials are looking for creative ways to free up airmen's time to focus on their primary missions and spend time with their families. The latest idea is to cut back on the amount of mandatory computer-based training airmen have to endure. That was one of the news tidbits that came out of the annual Air Force Association conference at National Harbor last week. Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu writes about several of these lesser-noticed news items this week. And Jared, the Air Force conference is always a great place to pick up tidbits that don't make the national stories.
Yeah, that's right. And certainly this is one of them. This one that we were just mentioning in the lead-up is part of the broader rubric of the Airman's Time Initiative, which you and I talked about just about a month ago when the Air Force said it was going to either scale back or completely cancel 29 of what they call additional duties, called collateral duties, in some of the other military services over exactly those concerns that you talked about, this high operational tempo that's been going on. You could argue back to the days of the first Gulf War. But the next thing after getting rid of all of those collateral duties, and they are going to look at some more, is to look at computer-based training, which is, much like the collateral duties, tend to get piled on over time whenever some, element of the Air Force in the Secretariat decides, hey, we really ought to have this particular piece of education delivered to all airmen across the Air Force via this nifty PowerPoint chart or this clickable deck of slides, and these things just tend to accumulate over time. And officials really think this is one of the things that's detracting, as you said, from primary missions and from being able to spend time with airmen's families. I want to stress this is all sort of preliminary, but General David Goldfein has some ideas on how he'd like to approach the problem of excessive training.
And what we think we need to do is to set a ceiling of the amount of time that we believe ought to be dedicated towards computer-based training and ancillary training. And then whatever we choose to compete has got to fit inside that ceiling. And everything above that is operational risk. And I think that's an appropriate decision for the chief to be looking at, which is what amount of operational risk are we willing to take to be able to get the training down to the right level. I will tell you, as the chief, I'm actually willing to take the operational risk that someone will figure out how to operate a fire extinguisher when they get into their first fire.
Again, David Goldfein, the chief of staff of the Air Force, and Tom, obviously you can hear that's a pretty popular proposition in that hall made up mostly of active duty airmen. So this is something they're going to take a close look at. Also on the additional duties we mentioned, he made clear that those 29 that they eliminated or reallocated was just a first swing. They're going to, from here on out, he and Secretary Deborah Lee James are going to start going out across the country and talking to airmen and finding out if what they've done so far has really made a noticeable difference, whether airmen feel like they can actually spend more time doing what they're supposed to be doing instead of these collateral functions.
And Jared, you're also reporting that beyond building drones, which seems to say that they're coming to the ceiling of what they can build for drones or what they feel they can get for drones, is more ways to gather and analyze intel. What is that one all about?
Yeah, we don't really know, but this was some kind of intriguing remarks from General Joseph Dunford, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who basically says that, we're on an unsustainable path if we just expect to keep building more and more drones and training more and more pilots. As he pointed out, since 2007, the number of those intelligence and surveillance and reconnaissance aircraft that are available to combatant commanders has gone up by 600%. And still, even after all of those increases, the Air Force is meeting about 30% of what commanders say they need. Now, of course, that's sort of a resource unconstrained environment. I'm sure a lot of combatant commanders, depending on the area of the world that they're responsible for, would happily have enough of these drones up in the sky to blot out the sun so that they have constant surveillance over every acre of territory that they're responsible for. But Dunford's point is we can't allow that to go on. We've got to find some creative ways to gather and analyze intel rather than just having these machines staring down from the sky at all times. And so, and I should mention there are further increases planned. As we talked about, or as we reported last week, the Air Force has doubled the number of RPA, remotely piloted aircraft pilots, that it's able to train every year. They're generating 384 new pilots every year. And still, they think that they're only going to be able to meet about 34 4% of what combatant commanders say they need. So the point is, Dunford's saying it's time to start coming up with some new thinking on how we provide information to combatant commanders rather than just persistent surveillance all over the place, increasing at an ever increasing pace.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, and you also report the Air Force is fighting any kind of proposal on the Hill to cut those military housing allowances. This has been bouncing around a while, too.
It has been bouncing around for a couple of years. This is now a subject of debate between the House and the Senate as they go to conference committee on next year's National Defense Authorization Act. Essentially, what the proposal is, just to recap, is let's say you have two members of the military who are married to one another. They would only be able to get one basic allowance for housing instead of what happens today, where you know the husband and the wife could both get that BAH payment, which is designed to cover the cost of rent and utilities in whatever locale you happen to be living in. The argument on the part of the Senate is, look, this is an allowance that's designed to cover a particular purpose, and that particular purpose is covering the rent of an airman or soldier, sailor, marine, coast guardsman, and his or her family. If we're giving that same payment to two people who are living together, you're essentially double dipping. Very different point of view from what most military associations believe, and a lot of the military's leadership, and the Air Force has really been out on front on this. Deborah Lee James, the Secretary of the Air Force, says they're actively lobbying against this proposal, and their side of the argument is, look, this may be called an allowance, but for decades it's been treated as the total compensation package. And essentially what you would be doing if you limited the allowance to only one member of a married couple, or even roommates, actually, that are in the military that happen to be living in one house, this would also apply to, you know, cutting back to one single allowance. Essentially, you're discriminating against them and giving them, in some cases, a several thousand dollar a month pay cut as essentially a penalty for being married to each other. So they feel that's unfair, and especially if it's all going to happen in 1 year without any kind of phase-in process.
Well, I guess some of these old senators figure even Lucy and Ricky, with their separate beds, were in the same bedroom.
That's right, living under the same roof.
All right, and briefly, the Air Force Open Architecture Office, and they're not talking about desks and chairs there, are they?
They're not. They've had some limited successes building systems to open architectures. The JSTARS project is one of those upcoming procurements that's going to use open architecture. But you know, most of our listeners understand what this is, but the fundamental principle is you build, you know, publicly defined interfaces so that you don't have a closed proprietary system. And then, you know, even a small vendor theoretically can come in and build an incremental improvement that just plugs and plays onto an existing platform. So as of a couple weeks ago, they've stood up what's called the Open Approaches Management Office at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base near Dayton, Ohio. Their job is to define all of these common standards so that they're down on paper, communicate approaches to open architectures down to the level of individual program managers to hopefully instill this kind of thinking in basically all of the hardware and software, major hardware and software projects that the Air Force builds and buys, because this is just another one of those things where senior DoD officials talk a good game about what a great idea this is, but you don't really see very many fruits of it. So hopefully this centralized office will help start to change that.
Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu, appreciate that update.
My pleasure, Tom.
You can read Jared's coverage and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.